There's no public comment, I don't guess. The approval of the agenda. Are there any additions or subtractions from the agenda?
I move that we approve the agenda as submitted.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Joy. Approval minutes, I'm sorry, we've got one more thing. Everybody get a chance to look at the minutes from last time? Any corrections or additions, subtractions?
We approve the minutes.
Aye, second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those are both approved. All right, now, Joy, I'm sorry. Subdivision approval. Subdivision approvals.
Well, we have not had any true subdivisions since our last meeting. We have had several that were larger than 10 acres, 4 in total. And that is a true subdivision, but it's exempt from the ordinance because it's greater than 10 acres. And then there was a recombination and a changing of boundary lines. The interesting thing about the last 1.2s, the greater than 10 acres, is that the majority of that was in Transylvania County, but there were small portions of the parcel that came into Transylvania County. So we had to review it for those small little pockets that were in our county.
The majority was in Jackson County.
Yeah, sorry.
With little slices in
little small slices in Transylvania County. So it was a new one for us to see and review.
So were the portions in Transylvania greater than 10 acres or just the whole plot?
Just the whole new lot was greater than 10 acres.
All right.
Yeah.
Any questions for Joy on that? We're moving right along. Old business. Sign ordinance update.
So we have looked it over and have begun some potential changes. In the definitions, there are a couple of proposed changes, one of which is the addition of personal expression signs. Because we are unable to designate certain signs based on content, there's a model ordinance that has personal expression signs as exempt from the regulations. And that would be the political signs, that would be the holiday signs, that would be the personal expression signs, as it says on the example that I handed out to you. That is something to consider. Whether it is an addition that would be beneficial, so that around this time of year, we have less illegal signs. So that is for you guys to consider. There's also the addition of a scenic byways definition. We found through the enforcement of the sign ordinance in the last 6 months that on scenic byways that are designated by NCDOT, off-premise signs are not allowed. And we have them as prohibited under section 4.6, starting on page 4 of the handout in front of you. We have them prohibited in scenic corridors that were designated by our scenic corridor ordinance, but did not specify scenic byway. And that should be underlined in red. And I apologize for not doing that. I believe that is the change that required it to be defined in the definitions, so people would know what the difference between a scenic corridor and a scenic byway is. And then you get off, I went from definitions over to prohibited signs because of the scenic byways. The section 3 with the directional signs were the ones that highlighted garage sale and yard sale signs specifically and created a maximum time limit for those. And those may be content oriented, and so they may not be allowed based on the court decision. So if we remove that specific reference, in addition to the specific reference in the directional sign of for sale in real estate, we could bring it into compliance. That is just... Do you understand?
No, you lost me.
Okay.
Could you do that again?
All right. So there was a court case that said signs are a type of speech.
Okay.
And saying that real estate signs are allowed, but not this other type of sign when they're the same size and they're same shape and they're same location, is illegal because you're discriminating against this other type of sign because it's not real estate.
Okay.
So, we can't specifically say only real estate signs, temporary realtor signs, and yard sale signs are allowed. We have to open it up to any type of directional sign if we want to have directional signs as a section that is exempt from the sign ordinance.
And those signs can stay up for any length of time, because I noticed we crossed out that yard sale signs can only be up for 7 days. I mean, they could have signs up forever.
Well, and so do we make directional signs have a time limit?
But then you'd have a problem because realtor signs stay up forever because
right.
It takes forever to sell a property.
Exactly. And so a garage sale and yard sale sign is a commercial activity. And those signs are directional signs to a commercial activity. So they fit within this directional sign category.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the comment in the slide. Time limit for directional off-premise signs? Question mark?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's sort of like in my neighborhood, people have started putting up signs about, you know, drive slow, children playing, you know, in their yards.
And is that a personal expression sign that's exempt?
I would think so.
Right? Scoop the poop signs.
Yeah.
Children at play. Keep poop away. So those would be unregulated if we include them in the definition and under the section, personal expression signs. But those aren't directional signs because it's not to a commercial activity.
Okay.
The directional sign would be like McDonald's 3 miles ahead on the left.
Exactly. Or Burlingame 1.2 miles ahead. Or open house this way. That's an event which could be under a temporary decoration sign or display associated with an event. But property for sale is not a specific time frame event. So it's a conundrum. If you would like other examples of directional sign language, I'm happy to provide that for you so you can review the court case, the potential example here, and some other examples. The other thought that was discussed in our office was that maybe realtor signs, you could get one sign permit per realty group, you know, and they would have a permit to go along to make sure that they knew it could only be at three intersections and that it could only be up for 10 days after the sale or whatever restrictions that were on realtor signs they would be aware of, and they would have a permit to cover all of their signs. So would we move it to off-premise signs, or do we keep it as exempt? The issue with having one permit to cover all of a realtor's sign is that in section 12 on page 7, it says that an application for each separate sign or sign structure is completed. Now, the permit could cover the sign structure used by that realty office. You know, they usually have one type of sign structure that they use. And so it could cover all of those structures. But it's an interesting conundrum of removing language. To treat them all the same. Garage sale signs, yard sale signs could be temporary. I crossed out signs, but it might need to go back in there. Temporary signs, decorations, or displays which are associated with an event or celebration may be posted for a maximum time period of 30 calendar days before and 10 calendar days after said event, but then that would limit the real estate signs to 30 days if they are considered a sign for an event.
Well, I don't consider the real estate an event.
Okay.
You know, when you're trying to sell property, that's not an event. Now, you're holding an open house for the house that you've had on sale for the last 6 months, then the open house signs would be an event.
An event, right.
But the fact that that house is for sale is not an event.
So what about a garage sale?
That's an event.
Is that an event?
That's an event because there's a set day and time, just like an open house has a set day and time. And those are events.
This is planning.
This is the planning board. So I see a difference between events,
mm-hmm.
you know, which have a particular time that they happen, then it makes sense to say, well, after this happened, you have so long to remove your signs. So we don't have all these yard sale signs saying,
yeah.
Saturday yard sale, and it was 3 weeks ago. And that's different than the realtor signs, which are really, I don't know what you call them, but it's not an event, it's a
commercial activity.
I guess it's just a, you know, it's like a for sale sign on something. It's just.
Alright. So, a lot for you guys to consider. You will notice that directional signs are duplicated in section 5. And it is to act as a placeholder for discussing the appropriate location of directional signs, whether they be exempt or whether a realty office would get one permit to cover all their signs.
So what do other counties do? Do other counties make their realtors get a permit? I mean, it seems like a lot of bother.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody, you know.
A lot of them are in the current position that we are of redoing the sign ordinance.
Based on the
based on the
freedom of speech sign.
Based on the court case, yes. This, the model ordinance, I'm happy to email you guys. It's very long. It has some great language for illumination. If we want to discuss illuminated signs again, it has some good definitions, and it has examples of the types of signs that they're speaking about. So, under Section 5, off-premise temporary portable signs are prohibited, it says, currently. But directional signs are off-premise, and they're temporary.
Right.
Which makes it confusing. So, that said again in Section 7, temporary portable off-premise signs are prohibited. And so it may be again that we annotate back to Section 3.8 or 3.9. Currently, sign permits are issued through the Building and Permitting Department, and it's often in conjunction with a new building or a renovation or an expansion, but it's also for standalone signs. They do the permitting for permanent signs because they have the expertise of going out and inspecting a sign to make sure that it's safe for motor vehicles and pedestrians. However, any appeals to a decision based on a sign or a sign permit comes before you guys.
We had one about a year ago, wasn't it? So what's the process once we get this? How I don't know if you, I'm sure you, Mark, y'all have discussed that.
We have.
So now we've got this in our hands. What happens from here?
You review it. You determine if it's if the corrections are suitable. If we need to revisit certain sections, and how it. If you want to add things, I know you guys had at one time looked at illumination, and do we want to look at that again now that LED lights are a common practice, and they're not new anymore? So it's, do we want to go as minimal as possible and make it legal?
I didn't.
Right.
Surprise.
Or do we want to take a comprehensive view at the whole ordinance and say, if we are updating it, should we include illumination? Should we revisit who is the enforcement officer?
So I guess your answer was a little more detailed than my question, I think.
You guys review it for your
We're correction. Just going to do like next meeting or in January, come back and talk about it, and then make a decision, then move on to the next ordinance. Is that kind of the plan? Whatever ordinances we're reviewing?
Yes.
Okay. So I just didn't want to have to make a decision tonight because I can't
read
that fast.
So. No decision is made tonight. That's why you guys have copies so that you can review it and think about it. That's why I'm able to send you a model ordinance and an example from a neighboring county if you want to see that. So we, you, there's time.
Okay. I just didn't want to have to make a quick decision.
Can you say anything about illumination in here now, or is it just ignored altogether? I mean, I haven't seen it.
It's not in there.
It's not in there. We didn't address it at all in here.
And we have had some folks come by and ask, you know, questions about the illuminated sign, and there's not really any guidance in there.
So, do we have illuminated signs in terms of any county?
Yes.
Okay.
The one at Ingalls would be considered illuminated.
Yeah,
Brevard College has little red dots that come across and tell you what's on. And the newest one is the Anchor Baptist.
Okay.
And it's the much more modern. It's kind of like a huge TV screen.
Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah, okay. All right.
We have one in Roslyn, too.
Do you?
Yeah, the Pentecostal Lighthouse. They got one that flashes, you know, service 10 o'clock Sunday.
Yeah.
There's at least four that I know of, maybe more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a map of the scenic byways? Okay.
Of the NCDOT's scenic byways? Yes. 215 and from Headwaters Outfitters to the Jackson County line.
And 281 and 178.
You're thinking scenic corridors, I think?
No, there are more scenic byways, and I do have a map because I was curious what they were, and I can.
Okay.
Basically, every state highway west of Headwaters.
Okay.
And then several others. That's one of the big issues, like my end of the county, is you can't put any off-premise signs anywhere, and it really hurts businesses. I was talking to a lady the other day who runs a campground, and they had to take some signs down a few years ago because of this, and it cut their business like 60%. There's another campground between the main highway and theirs, and everybody that reads their directions or anything and turns off to go to their campground, and it's the first one that has a sign that says they're half a mile down the road.
Also, I don't know if you can do this or not, but I'm sure there are things in here that are untouchable because they're out of our hands. There's, for example, I see one. Signs containing words or graphics that are obscene is defined in Chapter 15 of the NCGS. There's nothing we can do about it. So is there a way to designate? There's no time. There's no. What I'm saying, there's no reason to spend time on this one because it's a state law.
Right. Well, that's true about the scenic byways, too.
Yeah.
It's a state law.
I was wondering if you could designate those somehow. So, if, you know, if Maureen and I are having a discussion about this one, we say, well, why are we wasting our time? Because it's state law.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do about it.
I can, if you would like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the scenic byways are designated by the state. The restrictions that we put on signs along those byways are not. There's not any state restrictions.
There are. We permitted a sign along 64 because it met the sign requirements of our ordinance. And NCDOT required the person to take it down because of their requirements.
That must be fairly easy.
Yeah, I'm not sure how old it is. So scenic corridors are designated by the county, scenic byways are designated by the state.
It would probably be a good idea to have a list of those restrictions.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
The restrictions of the state.
Right. we wouldn't want to have county restrictions in some way either conflicted with the state or made signage impossible between the two. If we're thinking one thing's allowed and the state doesn't allow it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we make that the option, then there is no option.
Right. So you're just going to send us this updated information, and
you want our comments back before the next meeting or something? Or?
Yeah, what would be best for y'all?
The next meeting is in December. Mm-hmm. If you can get them to me before that meeting, that would be great. Yeah. And I can send out an electronic version so you can make copies on it.
Mm-hmm. You got anything else on this? All right, before, if it's okay with the board, we have a public now. If you would like to comment, there was public comment at the beginning, but you were not here yet. So if you would like to, if it's okay with the board, I go ahead and...
Well, coming in the middle, it's probably not appropriate for me to comment necessarily.
We have a time at the end, too, if you...
But I'm floundering a bit. I assume this is streetscape ordinances that are being revised and looked at?
Sign control ordinances.
Sign control. Okay, but it is germane to sort of public safety, traffic, and of course aesthetics of blasting signs everywhere, is that correct? Okay. One question, a general one I have is, you know, when you're driving on 280 or as it becomes 276 into Brevard, there are still some pretty hideous looking billboards. What is the, you know, is this because these are grandfathered? I mean, what? It's a general question, but basically, how is there a program to buy these out or to at least stop them proliferating? So, what's the? Do you have jurisdiction over that? I know these are presumably on private land, and the owner has sold signage rights or billboard rights. What, I mean, is there a general policy in the country to eliminate them over time?
Currently, off-premise signs are allowed to be 150 square feet per sign face, and cannot be greater than 20 feet in horizontal length per sign face, and shall not be taller than 25 feet. So billboards are allowed currently in the county.
I'm not able to take measures that some of those probably exceed what you just said.
The ones that I can think of are within the city of Brevard, along 60.
Well, so it's the other side, this side of the Crystal River, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And so that would be a different sign control ordinance that we don't have jurisdiction over.
If you'd like to make comments again at the end, there's also a time at the end. I just wanted to, didn't want you to sit here and think we were ignoring you. That's why I should. All right.
Yeah.
So, Mark has asked us to get a copy of Compeller High Water, the Great Flood of 1916 documentary. And we will review that. And afterward, I'll go ahead and pause the tape, the recording of the meeting, and we'll resume after the viewing of the documents.
I was going to help you, but that looks pretty fun.
Torrential rains lash the area, pouring more water into already swollen streams as floods bring death and destruction in the millions. Raging rivers overflowed their banks, and the floods were described as the worst in years.
I've been up since 4:30, so.
On July 16th, the 1960s, the great hurricane struck the week before in the Gulf Coast, and then directly after that, a great hurricane hit Charleston. They made a beeline right for us and dumped 22 inches of rain in 24 hours.
It rained every day for 2 weeks until the rock cliffs and the mountains were just lurking up before they were cleared. And finally, the flies began to fill up the mountains, and the logs and the timber and dirt came up to the trees.
And a girl got washed away there. The water come in and took out of the room of the house. And they found her down the mountain up in a clump of ivory bushes.
Hendersonville was an island surrounded by a lake in the flood of 1916, and no one could get in or out of town.
But the grandma told me it rained for days and days. I guess the ground in South Florida wouldn't hold water.
The Great Flood of 1916 was a disaster that had no equal. Striking in the middle of the night without warning, it took lives, thousands of homes, and caused hundreds of mudslides, rearranging the lives of thousands in a matter of minutes.
A hurricane came, the river wasn't big enough to carry it on. No place to go, just stay where it fell. There was high water in town. 6 days straight, the rain came down. Time to check in the porch, Papa. So one of the old rivers come to carry us away. There was high water.
Right. Update.
Do you want to talk about coming out of high water?
Sure.
I mean, it really makes its point. You know, when people wonder why we have, you know, some of these regulations and restrictions and all. Easy to forget, like they said, you know. So
it was very helpful to me as we have some, we do enforce the floodplain ordinance, and this helps me understand a little bit better why.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to understand when we don't see these high waters. But I feel a little bit better when you can't put a picnic shed or whatever right on the riverbank because it's going to end up in the river at some point.
And, you know, all the loss of all the infrastructure, everything, you know, just
the roads and the houses.
Yeah.
And, in vision this morning, there was a lady that asked if anything is being done about landslides in the county. And they had seen the movie and asked Chairman Mike Hawkins what was being done, because Henderson County has the landslides mapped where they previously were and where they're likely to go. Buncombe County has, and I believe Watauga, they were all funded by the state. before the program was dissolved. And now there's a private company that is completing the work in Jackson and Haywood counties. And they will be speaking at the next TNRC meeting, or the one in February. There are so many conflicting emails that have gone through about which meeting they will be speaking at, but this company is owned by two people that used to work with the geology department of the state. So
nothing's being done in Transcanada camp?
No. Currently. But the discussion in Jackson and Haywood took years before something was done. And the discussion's just starting now. So, as we're looking at ordinances and updates, something to keep in mind. Anything else?
Well, there wasn't very many rainfall records in all KIPP in 1916. I actually spent quite a bit of time researching this. And there's a lot of evidence that, like in Transylvania County and Jackson County, the 2004 floods were just as bad as this flood was here. I know at our quarry, when Francis and Ivan came through, they came through 7 days apart, and the first one it rained 15 inches in 24 hours, and the next one it rained 18 inches in 24 hours, which is not much different than the difference between 18 inches and 22 inches of rain in 24 hours. It's not a lot. And of course, now bridges and infrastructure and all is built so much better than it was when it was built with horses and oxen, and design parameters have changed, and we're just not as susceptible as they were then to put in. One other thing, they said the Toxway Dam washed out during that flood. It actually washed out like 10 days after.
Right. That's what it was. And the end didn't wash away. The end was still there. Just the water washed away. Yeah, that was August. That was July 26th, wasn't it?
Something like
that. I think it was July 26th when the dam broke. The only thing that got killed when the dam broke was a blind mule, because the water washed down into where Gorgeous State Park is now for the most part, and an old blind mule got killed. There's a restaurant talks away called Blind Mule. It's in honor of that old mule.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I apologize. I could have got you to come up here and sit with us. I didn't even think about it.
Right.
Yeah.
We've recently received approval from the Board of Commissioners to apply for home funds to rehabilitate 4 houses in the county that belong to people with disabilities or elderly or families who make less than 50% of the median household income. So we will know in December whether we receive these funds or not. It is a grant through the Asheville Regional Housing Consortium, which Transylvania County is a part of. November 10th, we submitted a grant application for a comprehensive bike plan. We had mentioned that at the last meeting, I believe. And so we'll find out whether we have funding to hire a consultant to work on a comprehensive bike plan. And then we have submitted a letter of interest and pre-application to a ARC Emerging Opportunities Grant to support the county's desire to have wayfinding signs. So maybe the campgrounds can have a sign that is sanctioned by DOT and the county, and other places of interest to highlight the opportunities here. We have not submitted a full application yet, and we'll know whether we have approval from the Board of Commissioners to do so in December. Kaylin has started working on a project of getting information about community centers and learning how we can support their needs. And there was an effort during the last budget cycle to have funding for community centers, and we needed a more detailed path forward on what the funding would go towards. And so Kaylin's going to be convening a meeting with community centers to see what they need and what their interests are, along with 4-H and the rec center and other community, not the rec center, the rec department. So there's been a lot of movement in the office, but just the regular stuff besides that.
Empathy dinner.
Empathy dinner, December 1st. Yes.
You want me to talk about it?
Yes, please.
The empathy dinner that was done in Brevard, I think it was in October. I'm not certain. It may have been September.
August.
Could have been August. Maybe July. But anyway, there's a dinner that will be held in Rosman, focusing on that end of the county, which will be December 1st at Rosman Elementary. So the task force has been asked to submit names and start to invite those people that they submitted. And we'll go over about 50 to 60 to 75 people and start a community-driven project there. Pretty much similar goals that were from the dinner at the church, Lutheran Church down here. So the same speaker will be doing the presentation, the homily, the sermonette, whatever you want to call it. And then we'll have the same format as the dinner that was held in Brevard. And it's focused on community leaders, both formally and informally, in the various, as the man said, on their hills and hollers of our end of the county. All right, that's it. Mark, you got anything else?
Don't believe so.
But you can. All right. Other. We have no other. All right. Public comment. First, let me stop you. First of all, could you tell us who you are?
Yes. My name is Gregory Ayers.
Okay.
Resident of Van Cannon.
Okay. Thank you. I can tell, yeah.
It's a bit of a crass question, but again, apologies for coming in the middle, but would it be possible for us to go around at your table and explain your different roles and how you interact and what?
Sure. I'm Maureen Kupwoff. I'm a member on the planning board. As a member, the members are appointed by the commissioners for 3-year terms, and we have 7 members on the board. And the commissioners, I think, try to find sort of a diverse group that represents sort of a cross section of the different groups throughout the county. And so we're just, you know, citizen members that come on a volunteer basis, you know, to work on things that the planning board, the planning staff, or the commissioners, you know, tell us to focus on.
I'm Joy Fields. I'm the county planner.
Joy
Fields, the county planner. taking more of a leadership role tonight than usual, with Mark Burrows being absent. I support the planning board's efforts and the county commissioner's efforts to support planning and community development in this county.
Have you
been here long?
No, just about a year. December 7th will be a year.
So far, so good. December 7th. Oh, lovely.
No problem. I'm Mike West. I'm the chairman of the planning board, at least until December or until there's a new election or however that goes. As Maureen said, we have the dictates of the county commissioners. We have some regulatory guidelines, and we have some policies and procedures that come from this county commission board and past boards that direct our actions. Those dictates go to staff, and then staff says, hey, we need to work on this, or we need to flush this out, or we need to flesh this out, or whatever. And that's, for example, like the sign ordinance you saw us working on tonight. Staff recommended that we work on reviewing all the ordinances. We just finished doing a comprehensive plan, which took, seemed like a decade, but I think it was only about a year and a half. But a lot of hours put in by people. And so after that project was over, staff recommended that we review the ordinances. So that's kind of what you saw tonight. So we're in the beginning stages of that. And that's one of the things that the board's tasked with is reviewing ordinances and updating ordinances as state laws change and as local desires and local demands change.
And so what's the review cycle, every 3 years?
Really, this one I think was last reviewed 2004 maybe, to something like that. So it's really, there's not a schedule. It's just as things change, as state laws change. We've had a couple of times where, since I've been on the board, I've been on the board, this is my fifth year, we've had a couple of times where we've had to review an ordinance based on a state law or a federal law changing. So that's kind of been the schedule.
My name is Kaylin Lawson. I'm a county employee and a program assistant in planning and community development. And our office, as I stated before, oversees all land use ordinances for the county. And if you'd like lots more information, please visit our website at planning.transylvaniacounty.org.
Pretty good advertisement, wasn't it?
All we needed was a jingle. I'm a management leader, Max McMillan, and I'm also a planning board member. And we have two members that are absent, and we have two vacant positions on the board. So normally there's a larger group here.
They are looking for people to apply and be members.
I should mention that the application's on our website.
What the relationship of your group to the Transylvania Alliance with your second man, Josh? The Transylvania Economic Alliance, yes. Is that sort of economic planning or community planning?
The Transylvania County Planning and Community Development Department about 2 years ago was the Planning and Economic Development Department. And if Matt, please correct me if I'm wrong, but the county created a nonprofit, Transylvania Economic Alliance, to focus on those efforts.
So that was taken out of your scope?
Yes.
Quite holistic, really. We can't really.
It's part of the whole. It's still part of the big picture for the county.
Okay.
And it's a separate private nonprofit entity, so it's not. It's not like a governmental institution.
As we, to answer your question about holistically, as we develop the comprehensive plan, and as we work on other things regarding economic development, Mr. Hollins, he sees what we're doing. He gets copies. He gets things sent to him. He gets a chance to comment. He gets a chance to talk with Mark and Joy and Kaylin and add his suggestions slash comments to what we do. So there is some connection. It's just not official.
Mark ours and these two ladies are the...
The Nexus, yes.
Ready County employees, Department of Three, and the rest are appointed volunteer members.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you for coming.
Anything else?
No, I think that's okay. Of course, at the moment, we haven't got the answer from
1916.
So yes. That's really an EMS thing in terms of, is there any planning you can really do for that?
The county does have an emergency management plan for where shelters would be if needed be.
Is that also on the website? How's that? Because I'm
it's not in our department.
When you go to you can go to TransylvaniaCounty.org and drop. There's a department's drop down. Go to EMS and you can review the emergency plan for the county there. I think the flood, there's several things you kind of got to jump around. Like the floodplain ordinance is under planning, the emergency plan's under emergency services. So you just kind of jump around and see what's in them. But you'll find everything you need contained in that department drop down window. I hate to get that's about as much specific as an answer as I can give you.
It might help to understand that the planning board isn't all necessarily all encompassing, it really focuses on land use. And the land use ordinances.
But that's a big driver.
Mm-hmm.
That brings us home.
Is there any other questions for me?
No, we appreciate you being here. Sometimes we have big groups, and sometimes we have one, and sometimes we talk to the walls. So anybody we can get here, we're happy with. Board member comments.
No, I would just like to, continue to press the commissioners to move forward with our comprehensive plan, because the last thing we want is that nothing happens, and I don't know how we best do that, but I think we need to make sure they know we're anxiously waiting for some follow-on action, hopefully.
Have you heard any feedback from any of the commissioners?
It's in the commissioners' hands right now, and they are discussing it, and they'll get back to us. So I have been asked to see if we can somehow, expedite the process. So I will diplomatically and genteelly work on doing that for the next couple of weeks, and see what we can do. Don't really know much more than that. That makes sense? Okay. Anything else? I appreciate everybody being here, and everybody's probably kind of tired from the comprehensive plan, the election, the drought, the fires. It's taking its toll on us. So let's go home if there was a motion. I would entertain a motion to adjourn at this point in time. Maybe we adjourn.
Exactly.
All in favor, adjourn.
All right. Everybody have a nice Thanksgiving next year.
Oh, that was the other thing. Remember potluck
next month. Yeah.
I'll bring a large salad.
You know what you want to bring?
I am working with Mr.